fear of the unknown and an uneasiness about people who are different seem to be fundamental human traits, traits that allow us to be easily manipulated by those who traffic in fear. That's what was happening in America in the early 1950s when Arthur Miller wrote The Crucible, a play about the Salem witch trials, as an allegory for the times he was living in. To those who wonder if those times have come back, a new production of Miller's play on Maui should provide some food for thought. Carolyn Wright is the director of the Seabury Hall Performing Arts and Maui Academy of Performing Arts student and adult production of The Crucible, and she joins us by phone. Good morning, Carolyn.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm pretty good. This play sort of came along at a pretty propitious time for all concerned, didn't it?
It sure did. You know, every time we do a show, there always seems to be some connection to what's happening. And every time we choose a show, we actually choose it in order to reflect something that's important about what's happening in our time. But when this show was chosen, last year, of course, we didn't understand everything that would be happening in our world, and particularly in our country right now. But it certainly is an allegory for our times.
What I was saying earlier about a climate of fear, that's what hangs over the action of this play, isn't it?
It definitely does. You know, this play is really all about the role of power and authority in our society, and the powers that be really shape our perspective on what is real.
Yeah.
And of course, we're seeing that right now with, or at least they try to, you know, with the whole idea of alternative facts and what is real. That's what's happening in 16 and 92 Salem as well. You know, we decided to set this, so even though the play is definitely set in Salem, Massachusetts, in the witch trial, when people come and see the show, they're going to see that the costumes and some of the props really span a time frame from the traditional Puritan all the way up to contemporary, because we wanted those aspects of the production to reflect that this is a story that reflects all times, really.
And so
this idea of what is real and what is not real, and the fear that you never know at any given moment who's going to turn against you is a really powerful driving force in this show.
Sure. And of course, that's, you know, whenever a population is made to be afraid, someone is gaining from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Someone benefits from that fear and more than likely is kind of holding on to power through that fear.
Yeah, exactly. And oftentimes that person or those people aren't people who would traditionally be in a position of power. So in The Crucible, we've got the girls who are not in a position of power at all, but by inflicting fear, by instilling fear in their community, they're able to gain power. And it is specifically for one girl in particular. She has some very specific individual needs that she's trying to accomplish. It's something that she wants.
This is also a time in history when power was pretty hard to come by for females.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing how fear... our society is so tied together through what we believe to be these shared values and a sense of how things should be. And it's amazing how fragile those ties are that bind us together as a society. And we see that in this play, and we're also seeing it happening right now in our country.
How does Miller, in the way he presents the action of the play, what kind of call to action do you get from the Crucible?
That's a great question. This play, the way the play is structured, is there's this oscillation between the private world of the individuals and then the public world of the society. And so the rhythms of the play are really tied deeply into that oscillation back and forth, which I think was brilliant on his part in terms of how the individual is a microcosm for the whole society. Mm-hmm. And so we have John Proctor, who it's many of the characters' story, but it really is his story and his struggle with his own integrity. And I think what Miller is saying is, if we betray ourselves, if we betray our own individual sense of integrity, then the society can fall apart as well. And so at the end, well, I don't want to give it away in case people don't know what the end is, but I think the call to action is, it has to do with truth and staying true to what our values are and what we believe is right and our integrity.
And at the time Miller wrote this, Americans, particularly in the arts, were being called upon to denounce their friends and colleagues to Congress for alleged flirtations with communism. And Miller was one of those who refused, right?
That's right. He was one of the ones. I read a thing that he wrote about how in college he became familiar with the Salem witch trial story, and it sort of was with him all along, but he never really had any intention of writing about it until this experience with the McCarthyism and the hearings, and he would not throw his friends under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to out anybody, and so he, after he went through that experience, he realized that he needed to write this play, and that the Salem witch trials were, of course, a perfect analogous situation for what was happening with him in the early 1950s.
You know, the parallel I think that you drew between communism and witchcraft was that you could accuse, in those days, you accused, in the 50s, if you didn't like somebody, you accused them of communist leanings or communist ties. In the 1690s, you accused particularly women of witchcraft if they did anything you didn't like, right?
That's right. If you had something personal to gain from it, you could accuse them of being a witch. And there were women who were hanged as well as men. There were even two dogs who were hanged. And so you figure, okay, well, why in the world would they hang dogs for being witches? Well, I'm sure that whoever did the accusing, there was a reason. If those dogs died, the person who accused the owners of those dogs must have had some sort of personal gain from it.
You know, it in a way, what things like this show, Carolyn, is that on one level, how primitive we as human beings still are.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that no matter how far we think we've come with all of our developments, all of our technology, there's still some really basic human qualities that we have that, for better or for worse, that are just a piece of who we are. And I think it's why some of these great works of art, I mean, going back to Shakespeare, you know, you look at, okay, those plays are over 400 years old, but they still speak to us today.
Yeah.
And it's because, in a way, maybe who we are as human beings are just who we are. That's not to say that we shouldn't try to make things better, of course, because I believe deeply that the power of the arts lies in the ability to shift us as people.
Mm-hmm.
And see each other in a new light, understand a little bit something different about who we are as individuals and how we fit into our society.
Well, it worked for Arthur Miller, and I'm sure it'll work for your play. Thanks so much for talking with us, Carolyn. Carolyn Wright is the director of the Seabury Hall Performing Arts and Maui Academy of Performing Arts, student and adult production of Arthur Miller's The Crucible, which runs the next two Fridays and Saturdays, and Sunday, March 5th at 3 p.m. in the A'ali'i Kuhonua Creative Arts Center at Seabury Hall in Makawao.